So I asked at the opening, oh, I'm sorry, you can be seated. Actually, you should stand the whole time, though. You know, we heard that gospel, which of course was one of the accounts of the Last Supper, which we commemorate in the Eucharist or the sacrament of Holy Communion. And it's interesting when you read that, and this is an aside before I get underway, what I really want to talk about. When you read that, though, what you hear in the accounts is that the disciples reclined at the table when they took what we would call Holy Communion. And that's kind of interesting, because you also heard tonight in these readings, particularly in Hebrews, about the high priest who is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Jesus is our mediator, is seated. Another word for that, of course, is reclined. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. I hadn't planned on pointing that out, but what we're talking about today, in some sense, is that concept of the Sabbath rest, and that in Jesus Christ, we actually find that rest. We no longer work, because we can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed at the cross of Calvary. And I had asked at the beginning of the service, show of hands, anybody know anybody who's Jewish? It looked like everybody raised your hand. And of course you should, because even if you don't physically know somebody who's Jewish, you should know Jesus. In case you'd forgotten, he was Jewish. And the reason I asked that, of course, is that this month is an interesting month for our Jewish brethren and our Jewish sisters. It is October, and this year their Rosh Hashanah, which is their Jewish New Year, was held on from sunset October 2nd through sunrise October 4th, and more recently, sundown October 11th through yesterday, sunrise October 12th, they would have celebrated Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is a wonderful shadow of what it is that we as Christians enjoy in terms of that Sabbath rest. Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement. It was the one day of the year when the Jewish high priest would enter the temple and not just go into the spot of the priest to offer sacrifices and to offer prayers on behalf of the people, but it was the one day of the year where the high priest, and only the high priest, could enter into the very innermost depths of that temple. He would go into the holiest of holies, and there he would be able to offer prayers, asking for God's mercy and forgiveness for the atonement of the sins of the Jewish people. One day of year they could do that, and it was very prescribed. If you want to learn more about it, I would encourage you to go into Leviticus. You can find out all about how that's supposed to happen. But it was a very serious, very sacred ritual, and it had so much power to it that, again, God prescribed that only the high priest could do it, and only once a year. And there were very ceremonial types of cleansing rituals that high priest had to go through first before he could do that. He'd have to sacrifice the blood of bulls for his own sins first, so that he could be properly, spiritually prepared to do it. He would then have to offer and sacrifice blood of bulls for his family. And then, and only then, could he go in and do it for the entire community. And tradition teaches us that the other priest would tie a rope around the high priest, because if he had done something out of order, if he had done something that was not precise and perfect and according to the law of God, then he would be struck dead in the inner sanctorium of the temple. And they couldn't enter, because it was proscribed by the law that they were not allowed to go in there, or prescribed, the prescription was against the entry. And the rope would then be there so that they could pull them out and not have to sacrifice their own lives trying to go in there. So it's all very interesting, and it's all very much a type and a shadow of what we see coming in the one that we know to be the high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who incidentally, although he's a high priest, he's not a priest in the order of Aaron. Aaron and Moses, of course, are Levites, and it was declared that all the priests for the Jewish people would come from the tribe of Levi. Yet Jesus comes from a different tribe. He comes from the tribe of, from the house of David and the tribe of Judah. And he is actually a priest in the order, not of Aaron, but the order of Melchizedek, which is also interesting. So we see God doing something very different with the new covenant. And we also see that operationalized in our Christian practice today. We don't need to have a high priest going into the temple. In fact, today even the Jews don't practice that anymore. They don't have the temple sacrifices like they had 2,000 years ago. That went out back in around AD 70 when the last temple was destroyed. So even they don't do those temple sacrifices any longer, but they still recognize the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, which of course was held earlier this week. That is one of the highest holy days on the Jewish calendar. And again, I think it sets up a very nice shadow for what was to come, a shadow that is typified by that high priest going into the temple, but that we see come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the one who, when he was on the cross at Calvary, and he gave up his spirit, the scriptures tell us the curtain was torn in two. It was that curtain that divided between where the high priest was all the rest of the year and where he could go in one day out of the year for the atonement. That curtain gets torn in two when Jesus is on the cross pouring out his blood. And so we see a different kind of covenant now. We see a covenant that's not based on our efforts to try to fulfill the law of God, because the law of God is so perfect and we're so imperfect, we're not able to do it. So it has been fulfilled for us by the sacrifice and atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And one of the ways that we remember that and we receive that grace of forgiveness and mercy is by coming to the table of the Lord and remembering that Last Supper, where we heard tonight Jesus saying that he pours out his blood as the new covenant. He offers that up for us as a sacrifice so that we may receive forgiveness, that our atonement is coming from the high priest, the one who sits at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf for all times, so that the sins of those who place their faith and trust in Jesus are now forgiven. Not by anything the high priest on earth does, not by anything that we as followers do, but by the finished work of Jesus, the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That, my brothers and sisters, is good news. If you receive that good news this evening, let me hear you say, Amen.